They say in journalism that you never know where you'll find a story, and so it often turns out. For medical reasons, I needed a pair of surgical shoes made recently, and I stumbled upon a shop in Sydney's Surrey Hills with a sign out the front saying that they made bespoke and surgical boots. Inside, in a shop crowded with rolls of leather, equipment, lasts and mended shoes, work Morris and Adam Perkull. One is 90, the other 91. While they were measuring my feet, we talked, and it emerged that they'd been living in Poland among their large Jewish family when Hitler began his Blitzkrieg in 1939. Many of their family, including their mother, were killed early in the war. This is part of a long interview which I'll post on the web soon for the historical record, but this part begins when both of them decided they had to escape Poland.
My brother and I said, listen, let's escape to the Russian-occupied Poland. We will be saved. So we both of us, we went to the border. We could not cross the border. We didn't have money. We didn't have only a pair of trousers and a pair of shoes. And that's all what we had on.
You would have needed money for bribes.
Yes, for crossing, you know, over the border. So we went back to Warsaw. On the bridge, Adam said, I'm going back to stay with Dad and the sisters. And I said, I'll try again. I tried again, took the train, went over to the Russian border, Polish-Russian border, and I smuggled myself over to the Russian side.
How? They can't hear you when you do that.
Snow and frost. And
you crawled?
Crawled over across the border.
Through bushes?
Some people who paid people to take them over the border money, they were sent back by the Russians. I didn't have money and I went by myself and I went over.
So how did you establish yourself in Russia?
Not Russia, it was still Poland. We called it Poland. I came into a city, it's called Bialystok. It was so crowded with refugees that you couldn't find a place where to sleep. So I asked the first man, can you tell me where can I sleep over? That was, you know. He said, go to another city. It's called Slonim. In that city, there is no refugees. I come in there. That was in the night time also. And I've seen a Jewish man going. And I said, can you tell me where could I get a place where to live? He said, come over to my place. They were an old couple, they had no children, so they took me into their place. Their son was a communist, and before the war, they sent them over to Russia in exchange for other prisoners. And he stayed there until the Russians invaded Poland. So I was there, and I thought, I must get away as far from the Germans as I can. But, you know, delayed until the Germans invaded Russia. 21 of June,
1941.
Stalin gave a precast. Anybody who wants to escape from the Germans, he gave trains free of everybody. You know, refugee trains, it was full. Took me 4 weeks in one train from where I was in there to Tashkent. 4 weeks!
So right and down into Soviet Central Asia?
Yeah.
And did you spend the rest of the war there?
Central Asia, they called me over when the Polish government made an army to go and fight the Germans. As a patriot, I went over there too. Went there near Moscow. I came in. Ah, you are Jewish? We don't want Jews in our army. I said, thank you very much. Then I went back and I heard that in Ural, the big tanks were made in Chelyabinsk, in Ural. I stayed until the war finished in Chelyabinsk. I worked with my Jews there until the war finished. They repatriated me to Poland back. Coming in from Russia. They took off from the trains the Jews and killed them.
The Russians did this?
The Poles.
The Poles did this.
The AK, the Army of Krajowa. I was blonde, blue eyes. I spoke a very good. I was lucky.
And Adam, during all this time, presumably you didn't even know if Morris was still alive.
Oh, no. No, you see, because I left Poland also in 1941. Because up to 1941, my father and my brother and the sisters were in the Warsaw ghetto. So I was a smuggler because I had papers.
Blonde and blue eyes.
So I was as a smuggler and I smuggled.
You had an Aryan look about you.
Yes. And I was a smuggler and I bought into through the tram. It went in the Warsaw ghetto. The tram went through. I bribed the Polish policeman and the German gendarme, every morning. I used to go and buy some food there outside the ghetto. And we were throwing down from the trams in the other side. I looked to the right, in the left. I used to throw down there. So my father was picking up there with some strong men, you know, the food. Every morning that was, so they could survive in the ghetto.
All right. Well, some people may not understand what you mean by the Warsaw ghetto. What happened in the Warsaw ghetto?
You can't.
Typhus.
One sister died of typhus, and the other one was there. That without me, I wouldn't be able to survive. The streets were closed around the ghetto. You couldn't go out. You couldn't get in. I went through the tram because I had the papers in case somebody would ask me. So I'm a Volksdeutscher.
So it was like a siege, really?
Yes, it was a siege. You could see every morning about 100, 150 people lying in the street because they got a piece of bread for the Russian piece of bread. It's only for 1 week to survive. People were dying from typhus. So I bribed the police there and I took my father and my brother and one sister, what's left. I took them out from the ghetto. I smuggled them out from the ghetto. And we went over to see my oldest brother's wife in Petrichow. Polish Petrichow. It's very famous from the Black Madonna. So I took them over there, and my father said to me, look, I've got enough money because I earned a lot of money by smuggling.
I was going to ask you, all these bribes, where did the money come from?
Yes, from that. So I said to my father said to me, look, I've got enough money. We don't know how long they because they all thought that the war will finish soon. That was in 1941. So she said, you can save your life. You go to Germany. I went to Germany, and I was working there until 1944.
What sort of papers did you have?
As a Volksdeutscher, a German born in Poland.
So you'd got the Volksdeutscher papers off the people that you were telling me about earlier?
Yes, the one who got killed in Warsaw during the bombardment in 1939, when it was the Sieg of Warsaw.
So 41 to 44, you managed to escape or to run under the radar, as they say.
I was there. I had a very good time there because I was working. And I got, I met there the chief of the Henschelwerke.
What's that?
Henschelwerke was the second biggest
aeroplane.
They used to make the Junker planes and the panzers, the Tiger panzers and all the things, the locomotives. So I was working there. I met his daughter, and thanks to her, I didn't go to the front. They wanted to take me to the front. I was such
Tell a story.
They
called him up to the army, to the German army. Undressed, undress yourself. They didn't notice that he is circumcised.
It was a German woman doctor. She asked me, "Have you got? You ever had venereal krankheit?
Venereal disease?
Yes, disease." I said, "No," and that's all.
You see, if you don't think, if you don't suspect anybody, you can go through.
I was lucky because I had met that girl. So I was until 1944. In 1944...
Just before you go on to that,
yes,
a lot of people will be thinking, what an extraordinary decision to leave Poland and go into Germany instead of running as far as you could get from Germany.
It's because
to save yourself.
I say, saved myself. That's my life. And I was lucky that I didn't look Jewish at all.
Excuse me, I will answer also. When a man is drowning in the water, if he'll get a riser, he'll grab the riser to save himself. Yeah. The same story is with that. Not one country did open up the borders
to
take in the Jews.
Yeah.
Where else could he go? Perish in Poland or in the ghetto, where you save yourself even by grabbing a riser. Doesn't matter if your hand will get cut, but it saves your life.
So 1944.
Hitler came, it was after the assassination, after the attempt of Hitler's. So he came to castle. I was working there in castle. So I took...
With what castle? Where were you?
Castle am Fulda. It's just in Germany, next to Frankfurt, not far from Frankfurt. The castle was bombed in 1943. A night ride from the American planes came over, about 1,000 American planes. They bombed everything there. The factory was bombed.
Like Dresden.
But the Germans, because we had only four walls left. In 2 weeks, the factory was working like before. They brought new machinery and everything. And I was there as an engineer in the factory. Hitler came to castle. They had about 100,000 people came to listen to him. That was in the morning. In the afternoon, I took my friend to a cafe there. 6 o'clock in the evening, we went home with the tram. So somebody was watching there. And I thought that he's watching me, because I had two friends, the daughter from the engineering, and the other one was a girl, but I didn't know before who she is, but we used to go out every weekend, Saturday afternoon and Saturday, Sunday. We used to go to museums, we used to go to cafes, in the theater.
Adam, it seems to me that you're quite a risk taker. Not only did you into Germany, but you were running two girlfriends.
Because I had to show that I'm not, because my name was also Marian Zalewski, a different name also, and they were never suspicious that I'm a Jew because I spoke a perfect German. So I came home and I said to Liesl. Liesl was my friend. It's something fishy. Oh, she said, he looked at her, at the other friend, he looked at her because she was a beautiful girl. After I found out that she was from MI5.
Liesl, the girl you were going out with, was
not
from...
Not Liesl, the other girl.
Okay.
Liesl's friend.
She was from the English Intelligence Service.
So about 5 o'clock in the morning, the Germans, the whole block where we lived, all with the SS
closed up,
and they took the whole block to our Arbeitskamp.
So you weren't rounded up as a Jew, you were rounded up?
No, I rounded up as a Jew. In there, in the Arbeitskamp,
that's a labor camp.
Also, it's a labor camp.
You were lucky.
I was lucky, because the first day when the block elders asked, "Is any tailor here?" So I don't know, like God took my hand and to lift it up. I used to stitch on a machine, you know. So I lift up my hand. So that took me in there to fix the uniforms. So in the Arbeitskamp, that's in the Arbeitskamp. But every night, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes midnight, or early in the morning, the Gestapo used to come and ask me the same questions. Where did you meet that girl? I said, she lived there in the same block. And we used to go out Saturdays and Sundays. We used to go out there to theaters and that. Every time the same questions, but they never asked me, oh, we are a Jew or something like that. I knew that false torture.
Eh? Yeah. What a story. So that, what was that labor camp?
That was a Gestapo Arbeitskamp.
And where did you go from there?
From there, they took me to Mauthausen.
Mauthausen, explain what Mauthausen was.
Mauthausen was
a
death concentration camp. But they used to burn people. Over there, I was also lucky because as a Volksdeutscher, I didn't have to go there to work. They didn't take me to work, but in the barracks, I used to be cleaning there, the toilets and the clean up there. And I used a next door where the Hungarian government, what Eichmann sent out to Mauthausen, because they didn't want to take out to give out the Jews. So the Prime Minister, Horthy, with his ministers, they were all there. The health minister was a Jewish health minister. He was only there 2 days, and he disappeared. They killed him.
You saw the death? You saw the gas ovens?
In Mauthausen, no, because I was only two weeks in Gelderland. From Mauthausen, they sent me over to Melk. That was a concentration camp, but no ovens in that time. I was working there until about when the Russians came into Mauthausen. The Russians from one side and the Americans from the other side, because they came into Mauthausen, so they took us out from Mauthausen to Melk, because the Russians were nearby already.
So they thought you were about to be liberated.
That's right. So I told them what I did in Mauthausen. So they took me over also to clean up the German offices. So I was cleaning there and I was surviving until just about 1 week,
We must be well into 1945 now.
Yes, 1945, about in April 1945, they took us out from Melk and they sent us over to Ebensee. Ebensee was not far from Salzburg.
This is the Germans still trying to get you away from the Americans.
Yes, over there was a camp. I knew, I've seen it, the ovens and the burning, because one fellow, I asked him, he was a couple from the crematorium, and he told me that they're burning every day, they're burning in the hundreds of people from the camps. The selection, and they burned them. In 5th of May 1945, in the morning, we've seen that around the camp, all the towers were meant by Hitlerjugend.
Hitler youth instead of the usual
troops. That's right, usually it was something suspicious as was. One SS man came out and he said, look, we could hear already the artillery. Look, you'll go into the, under the mountains, they made some bunkers. It was about 30,000 inmates in that camp.
In a tunnel, really?
Yes, to go into the tunnel so you'll survive the artillery. But the Jugend, they were standing there, so I said, don't go in. don't go in because everything was mined. They wanted to kill us, the whole lot. But they didn't, because in about 12 o'clock, the gate opened and we've seen a tank came in, an American tank. We didn't know who it is, American or Russian. But it came out, one fellow from the tank, an officer, an American officer, and I noticed that he had the Ten Commandments on his lapels. He was a chaplain, an American rabbi from the American man. So I came over to him. I started crying. I fell down on my feet. And I told him the story, who I am, that I'm a Jew. So he took me out.
Can you say the Jewish prayer?
So he said, can you say the prayer, the Jewish prayer? I said, look, I'm circumcised and I can say the prayers. And I told him the prayers. So he took me in there to the officers' club. He gave me something. He said, don't eat a lot, just a little bit, because otherwise
you'll get diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
So you were very, very thin.
So, and he said, look, I will, tomorrow morning, I'll send over a jeep and they'll take you over to Italy.
Adam Perkal, and before him his brother Morris. Unbelievably, once in Italy, Adam eventually found work as an actor at the Rome Film Studios, Cinecittà. In an extraordinary twist, because of his blue eyes and blonde hair and the fact that he spoke fluent German, he specialised in playing German army officers in post-war films. For a while, both brothers thought they were alone in the world, but eventually they were reunited, along with their older brother Paul, and came to Australia, where Adam and Morris Perkal still work from 8 to 3 every day, making shoes and boots. I'll put the whole interview up on our website soon.